The Voice in Speech and Song, Chapter 38, Love and Kindness, Eloquence of God's Love. The most persuasive eloquence is the word that is spoken in love and sympathy. Such words will bring light to confused minds and hope to the discouraged, brightening the prospect before them. The time in which we live calls for vital, sanctified energy, for earnestness, zeal, and the tenderest sympathy and love, for words that will not increase misery, but will inspire faith and hope. We are homeward bound, seeking a better country, even a heavenly. Instead of speaking words which will rankle in the breasts of those that hear, shall we not speak of the love wherewith God hath loved us? Shall we not try to lighten the hearts of those around us by words of Christ-like sympathy? Shall we not tell of the prospective rest in store for the people of God? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Barriers of pride and selfishness. The Spirit of Jesus should pervade the soul of the worker. It is the pleasant, sympathetic words, the manifestation of disinterested love for their souls, that will break down the barriers of pride and selfishness, and show to unbelievers that we have the love of Christ. Divine enlightenment and wisdom. Those who labor in word and doctrine have a great work before them to tear from the minds of those for whom they labor the fatal deceptions of Satan, and to impress them with the importance of aiming to reach God's great standard of righteousness. They should pray earnestly for divine enlightenment and for wisdom to present the truth as it is in Jesus. Sympathy, tenderness, and love, woven into their discourses and manifested in their lives, would disarm opposition, weaken prejudice, and open the way to many hearts. Imitation of Christ in His labors. It is to be regretted that many do not realize that the manner in which Bible truth is presented has much to do with the impressions made upon minds and with the Christian character afterward developed by those who receive the truth. Instead of imitating Christ in His manner of labor, many are severe, critical, and dictatorial. They repulse instead of winning souls. Such will never know how many weak ones their harsh words have wounded and discouraged. Too many sermons. The sermons should come not from a mechanical heart, but from a heart that is filled with the love of God and is subdued and softened by His grace, that when you speak, the angels of God are enlisted on your side, and Christ is on your side, and it is Christ that makes the impression. Now these things have been neglected at our camp meetings. We have lost 2/3 of all that the camp meetings were designed to accomplish. The idea seems to be woven into the minds of some that all they have to do is to sermonize. While sermons are good in their place, there is sermon after sermon given to the people that they cannot retain in their minds. It is an impossibility for them to do it, and they are just wearied out with sermons. Ministers shod with gospel shoes. Let every minister learn to wear the gospel shoes. He who is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace will walk as Christ walked. He will be able to speak right words and to speak them in love. He will not try to drive home God's message of truth. He will deal tenderly with every heart, realizing that the Spirit will impress the truth on those who are susceptible to divine impressions. Never will he be vehement in his manner. Every word spoken will have a softening, subduing influence. In speaking words of reproof, let us put all the Christ-like tenderness and love possible into the voice. The higher a minister's position, the more circumspect should he be in word and act. Lasting impressions through love. In His providence, God impresses people to attend our tent meetings and church services. Some come from curiosity, others to criticize or ridicule. Often they are convicted of sin. the word spoken in the spirit of love makes a lasting impression on them. How carefully, then, should these meetings be conducted? The word spoken should be of authority, that the Holy Spirit can impress them on minds. The speaker who is controlled by the Spirit of God has a sacred dignity, and his words are a savor of life unto life. Let not unsuitable illustrations or anecdotes be introduced into the discourse. Let the word spoken be for the edification of the hearers. Cutting by the truth, not by our words. In the presentation of unpopular truth, which involves a heavy cross, preachers should be careful that every word is as God would have it. Their words should never cut. They should present the truth in humility, with the deepest love for souls and an earnest desire for their salvation, and let the truth cut. Reformation, not exasperation. God is calling for reformers who will speak strong, uplifting words from our pulpits. It is when men speak their own words in their own strength, instead of preaching the Word of God in the power of the Spirit, that they are hurt and offended when their words are not received with enthusiasm. It is then that they are tempted to speak words that will arouse a spirit of bitterness and opposition in their hearers. My brethren, be advised. Such words are not to come from the lips of Christ's ambassadors. Sanctified lips will speak words that reform, but do not exasperate. The truth is to be presented in the meekness and love of Christ. From broken, contrite hearts. My brethren, let your hearts become broken and contrite. Let expressions of sympathy and love, which will not blister the tongue, flow from your lips. Spirituality in preaching. Brother B's preaching has not been marked by the sanction of God's Spirit. He can talk fluently and make a point plain, but his preaching has lacked spirituality. His appeals have not touched the heart with a new tenderness. There has been an array of words, but the hearts of his hearers have not been quickened and melted with a sense of a Savior's love. For teachers, the gentleness of Christ. I have an earnest desire that you shall every day be learning of the great teacher. If you will first draw nigh to God and then to your students, you can do a very precious work. If you are diligent and humble, God will daily give you knowledge and an aptitude to teach. Do your very best to impart to others the blessings he has given you. Desire with a deep, earnest interest to help your students, carry them over the ground of knowledge. Come as close to them as you can. Unless teachers have the love and gentleness of Christ abounding in their hearts, they will manifest too much of the spirit of a harsh, domineering schoolmaster. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. No passionate word or gesture. In educating the children and youth, teachers should not allow one passionate word or gesture to mar their work, for in so doing, they imbue the students with the same spirit which they themselves possess. No irritation by teachers. Instructors who are under the discipline of God receive grace and truth and light through the Holy Spirit to communicate to the children. They are under the greatest teacher the world has ever known, and how unbecoming it would be for them to have an unkind spirit, a sharp voice full of irritation. In this, they would perpetuate their own defects in the children. No lack of kindness, even to evildoers. If the teacher, through the grace of Christ, is self-controlled and holds the lines with a steady, patient hand, he will quell the boisterous element, keep his self-respect, and command the respect of his students. When once order is restored, let kindness, gentleness, and affection be manifested. It may be that rebellion will rise again and again, but let not the hasty temper appear. Do not speak sharply to the evildoer, and discourage a soul who is struggling with the powers of darkness.